हरि ओम तत्सत् श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। हरि ओम ओम सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यंकरवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ओम शांति शांति शांति। कृष्ण यजुर्वेदीये कठोपनिषदि, दिस कठोपनिषद बिलोंगिंग टू कृष्ण यजुर्वेद। वी आर सीइंग द सेकंड वल्ली और सेकंड चैप्टर, एंड इन दिस पोर्शन रिपीटेडली उपनिषद प्रेजेंट्स द आत्मस्वरूपम ओनली। आत्मस्वरूपम, व्हाट एग्जैक्टली इज द एसेंशियल नेचर ऑफ द रियलिटी obtaining as one's own self. We should not forget this fact. Understanding the essential nature, the swarupam of the Atma, is not for simply saying Atma is of this nature, but to claim that swarupam as one's own swarupam, to take ownership of that swarup of the Atma as one's own swarupam. Because this all pervasive reality implied by the term Atma alone is there as the innermost essence of every being. Therefore, everyone has to take ownership of the nature of the reality as one's own swarupam, because reality is the self of every being. Only in take ownership of the swarupam, the essential nature of the reality, as one's own nature, the problem, the solution for the problem is there. So until and unless we take ownership of the nature of this Atma, nature of reality as our own Swarupam, understanding Swarupam of the Atma does not make any sense. That we don't enjoy the benefit of the Jnanam. So with this understanding, we have to see here how Upanishad repeatedly discusses the Swarup of the Atma. Because the reality implied by the term Atma has to be arrived at, can be arrived at, understood only in terms of its nature, only in terms of its Swarupam, because of its extreme subtleness. As the reality is not an object, it is not available for perception, sense perception, or thought conception, or word description. There is no way of arriving at the reality other than arriving at the reality in terms of its nature. So, Atma Swarupam is repeatedly discussed in all these mantras, especially in this particular section. And now, until the previous mantra, giving the gross examples of wind, fire, etc., the oneness being the nature of the Atma was established. Being one, Atma, the reality is one. There is no second reality. If there is what is, there is only reality. That is the second understanding. That understanding becomes the next step. What the first step of understanding? Atma is one. So, Atmanaha Ekatva Vijnanam. Atmanaha Ekatva Vijnanam is the important topic here, topic we saw until the previous mantra. So, knowledge of the oneness of the Atma. Ekatvam, why Atma is only one? Why this subtlest reality, all pervasive subtlest reality implied by the term Atma? Being one is discussed because oneness, being one is the nature. The Swarupa, that's the nature, that is how Atma is. That's how the reality can be, that's how reality is. So ekatvam is swarupam. So we should not have any confusion at all. That absolutely reality is one. And all these objects of perception are the plurality of upadis, plurality of forms and species, a plurality of manifesting media, or plurality of manifestations should not be mistaken for the plurality of the Atma. So plurality itself is mithya. Manyness is mithya. Bahutvam is mithya. Mithya means it has only plurality is not denied here as tucham, not something non-existent. But plurality is there, but it's only empirically real, relatively real, objectively real. Absolutely, there's no plurality. Absolutely, what is there's reality, and reality is one. So that oneness being the nature of the Atma, ekatvam being the nature of the Atma has been discussed before. So that only Atma, the one Atma is there as the only self of all the beings. Therefore, the content of I, that which is ultimately, absolutely referred to by this first person single pronoun I, is only one Atma, only reality. That fact has been discussed in the previous verses, mantras. Now we are going to see in this mantra, the 11th mantra, which just started last class. Let us see here. Untaintedness, unafflictedness, unpollutedness, being the nature of the Atma, is discussed here. So untaintedness also implies purity, shuddhatvam, asangatvam, and shuddhatvam, being the nature of the Atma, is discussed in this specific mantra, the following mantra. So when you say purity, an impure thing can be made pure. And the purity can be brought about, the purification can be done by removing the dirt, removing the impurity, something can be purified. So here, or by beautifying, something can be purified. The two ways of refining, which we discussed much earlier before in some other context, when you saw the meanings of some other mantras. The purifying is also said to be refining. Refining. The refinement in Sanskrit is called samskaraha. Samskaranam, refining. Samskaraha, refinement. When you look at the wall is very dirty, and then it is not clean, and you want to make the dirty wall into a clean wall. So then you are removing the impurity there. What do? You scrub the wall to remove the dirt from the wall. The scrubbing, thereby removing the dirt, is what now making the wall clean, cleaning the wall. This is refining that object. This is called dosha apanayana samskaraha. The wall is dirty. The dirt is the dosha, defect there. Dosha apanayana samskaraha. So cleaning, purifying, refining that place by removing the dirt. Dosha apanayana samskara. If something is impure, the impurity can be removed to make it pure. And then on the top, sometimes you paint, bring new paint, and then paint the wall and make the wall look clean and nice. is called Guna Adana Samskaraha. So Dosha Apanaya Samskaraha, Guna Adana Samskaraha. You add the refinement, which is not there before. Like this, refinement is possible. Purification is possible only if something is impure already. But here, Atma is ever of the nature of purity, absolute purity. Atma is ever of the nature of absolute purity. Therefore, purity being this very sarupam of the reality, being pure, being the very sarupam of the reality, Atma can never be tainted, touched, afflicted by anything here. Atma shuddhaha, therefore Atma asangaha. Atma is of the nature of absolutely pure, absolute purity, therefore Atma is asangaha. Shuddhaha, therefore asangaha. Shuddhatvam is the Atma, Atmanaha swarupam. Therefore, asangatvam is also Atmanaha swarupam. Untaintedness is also swarup nature of the Atma. For which here, the Upanishad in this 11th mantra gives an example of the sunlight. So here, we cannot purify the Atma because Atma never gets impure. There's no impurity on the part of the Atma. There's no need. Dosha apanayanam also is not possible because there's no dosha. Dosha rahita shuddhaha, the pure. And then you cannot add purity also to Atma because already of the nature of purity. Therefore, it is asangaha. Okay. Then, that is discussed here. Let us see the meaning here. Other than Atma, what else is here? Other Atma, there is Anatma. Anything and everything other than the Atma is Anatma. And we can understand the abstract, formless reality, which is arrived at as Sarupma of the knower experience alone is Atma. The abstract, formless reality, arrived at as the Sarupma of the knower experiencer, arrived at as Sarupma of the subjective knowledge, arrived at in terms of its nature of knowing, alone is implied by the term Atma. It means, what about the known? The knower alone is Atma. What about the known? So anything and everything, everything else other than the Atma comes under the category of the known only. And that anything and everything which comes under the category of the known is Anatma. The knower is Atma, known is Anatma, the non-self. The knower is objective knowledge, the known is objective knowledge. And this objective knowledge is of the nature of inertness. Because being the object itself, being an object of knowledge itself is the proof that it is of the nature of inertness. So drishyatvam means what? The Anatma has the status of being an object. It is drishyam. Anatma is drishyaha. Drishyam vastu. And being drishyam, it is also jadam. It is of the nature of inertness. And being inert, it does not have the capacity to reveal its existence by itself. Therefore, it is totally solely dependent on the knower Atma for its very existence. Therefore, it has no independent existence of its own. Therefore, Anatma is mithya. Atma is satyam. Anatma is mithya. So here, all the impurities. So Atma is absolutely free from, untouched by, untainted by all forms of blemishes, punya papams, all impurities such as jealousy, hatred, anger, etc. Now all limitations also. Atma is free from all limitations, free from all blemishes, free from all impurities. So limitations, time, space, or limitations also belong to Anatma. Anatma alone has limitations. Anatma object to limitations. Anatma is associated with all blemishes. Anatma alone is subject to, Anatma alone is associated with all impurities also. Atma is free from all impurities, free from all limitations, free from all blemishes. In fact, the Anatma enjoys its existence in Atma. Therefore, all these problems, limitations, impurities, blemishes associated with Anatma also enjoy their existence only in Atma. Therefore, they do not harm, they cannot harm, touch, attain the Atma. This is the fact. To make us understand this, here Upanishad used this present this mantra. Let us read the mantra first. Suryo yatha sarvalokasya chakshuhu na lipyate chakshushair bahya doshaihi. Suryo yatha sarvalokasya chakshuhu na lipyate chakshushair bahya doshaihi. Ekastatha sarvabhutantaratma na lipyate lokadukhena bahyah. Na lipyate lokadukhena bahyah. First example, understand example first. Sarvalokasya chakshuhu suryaha. Suryaha is sarvalokasya chakshuhu. Here we are taking one specific nature of the sun. Here we do not see the sun as the enlivener, energizer of the world. No. We are seeing the sun as the bestower of light, as a source of light, a self-luminous body, illuminator of the world of opaque things. Suryaha sarvalokasya chakshuhu. Sun is this eye of the entire world of opaque things, or entire world. Sun, the self-effulgent, self-luminous sun, which is not dependent on the world of opaque things to come to light, which is not dependent on any other light, similar source of light to come to light, is the only eye of, is the eye of the entire world. Sarvalokasya chakshuhu suryaha. Why sun is called chakshuhu, sarvalokasya chakshuhu? Why sun is said the eye of the world? We are not seeing through this sun. His sun is said to be sarvalokasya chakshuhu, eye of the world, because of course the seeing power, chakshurindriyam, the seeing power obtaining in the eyes of all the living beings serve as instrument of perception of light and the light reflecting objects, the opaque things, only in the presence of the sunlight. The sunlight is not there. The seeing power still can function as seeing power. Seeing power can only report the seeing power serving as an instrument of perception, instrument of art, can only report the darkness. Only darkness. In the presence, in the absence of sunlight, seeing power can only report the darkness to the mind. The seeing power has to illumine all the, see all the opaque things. The opaque things should reflect the light. So seeing power serves as means of knowledge of the opaque things. Only in the presence of the light, only when the opaque things reflect light. Therefore, light itself is object of seeing, object of sight. And all the opaque things reflecting sunlight, shining after sunlight, also are perceived through this seeing power, only the presence of the light. Even though light itself is dependent on the seeing power to be seen, still only in the presence of the light, opaque things can shine. Opaque things can be seen through the seeing power. Therefore, sun is said to be the eye of the entire world. Sarva lokasya chakshuhu suryaha. And this suryaha, what does it do? It illumines all the opaque things, the world of opaque things. Chakshushaihi bahya doshaihi na lipyate. Bahya doshaha means the defects of all the objects illumined by the sun are bahya vishyaha. Chakshushaihi, chakshusha bahya vishyaha. Chakshushaha means the perceived, perceptible, all the opaque things, subtle and gross, formless and forms, illumined by the sunlight are chakshushaha, which are perceived through the eyes in the presence of the sunlight. External objects perceived through the seeing power in the presence of the light are chakshushaha vishayaha. And all those chakshushaha vishayaha, the objects, they are external. External to the seeing power. Bahyaha. Bahyaha vishayaha. The external objects perceived through the seeing power, illumined by the sunlight, are chakshushaha bahyaha vishayaha. And the defects of those chakshushaha bahyaha vishayaha, defects, the problems of those external objects perceptible through seeing power in the presence of the sunlight, are chakshushaha bahyaha doshaha. So the external objects have, they may have their own limitations, their own blemishes, their own impurities. But does the sunlight become afflicted by those defects? Mantra says, na lipyate. The sunlight is not touched, tainted by the defects of the external perceptible, external objects perceptible through the seeing power in the presence of the sunlight. Chakshushaha vishayaha means objects perceptible through the seeing power. And they are external to the seeing power. The external also. By those, and those objects have their own defects, their own problems. What are the problems? All the objects, not only the objects perceived through the eyes, but generally all the objects have these problems. So the objects perceived through the eyes also have these problems. All the objects perceptible through the seeing power in the presence of the sunlight are subject to all limitations. They have kala paricheda, they have desha paricheda, they have vastu paricheda. All defects are there. all limitations, and they're all subject to change. And then they had their own beginning, they have beginning, they have an end. They have their own defects. They have their own impurities. In fact, impurity itself is what? Impurity, even subtle thoughts, emotions, is said to be impurities. Manasa doshaha. Impurities of the mind. Jealousy, strong likes and dislikes, desires, anger, hatred, fear, anxiety, jealousy, etc. They're all impurities. All of the impurities, the so-called impurities, exist in the very Atma. Enjoy existence in the Atma. They don't have existence outside of the Atma. They're dependent on the Atma to have the status of being existent. There cannot be something called jealousy or hatred or anger or fear, anxiety, strong likes and dislikes, hatred, etc. without the Atma. They hear a phenomenon, a subtle phenomenon called jealousy, hatred, anger, etc. Any phenomenon exists only because of the blessing of the Atma. They all enjoy existence in the Atma. And all the defects, all of the defects also. The dirt, the colors, the forms, the shapes, the sizes of objects need not be defects alone. Even the sizes, shapes, the forms, the colors, even the smells, etc. All objects may have their own, all these attributes, dharmaha. So all these also do not touch the sunlight. Touch the sunlight. So similarly here, we're going to see later on, just as sunlight, the sun, which is looked upon as, revered as the eye of the entire world, is not at all touched or tainted by the defects or the attributes or the problems or impurities associated with the external objects which are illumined, which are perceived through seeing power, which are illumined in the presence of the light. And there's no distance between the illumining light and the illumined opaque thing. Opaque things, defects, opaque things, limitations, opaque things, impurities, do not taint the sunlight. Sunlight is not distant, but still distinct. It is absolutely untouched. By sunlight is untouched by the defects of the opaque things, perceptible through the sense seeing power in the presence of the sunlight. Similarly, yatha sarvalokasya chakshuhu suryaha chakshushaihi bahya doshaihi na lipyate tatha yekaha sarvabhuta antaratma. Sarvesham bhutanam antaratma, sarvabhuta antaratma yekaha. This only reality, abstract, formless, subtlest reality, obtaining as the innermost self of all the beings, available for recognition as the surup of the I, the knower I, the first person singular pronoun I, that reality atma, only Atma, loka dukkhena na lipyate, is not at all tainted, affected, afflicted, touched by the worldly grief. Loka dukkhena. So no defects, no limitations, no impurities of the material world of material objects can affect the Atma because there is no sambandha, there's no connection. There's no connection. No connection means what? Atma is not this abstract reality which is of the nature of knowing. Therefore, known by this expression, specifically consciousness or pure awareness, is not distant from any of the subtle and known, subtle and gross known objects. Not distant at all. Physically not distant. There's neither physical time distance or spatial distance between the consciousness and the object of consciousness. The pure knowledge and object of knowledge. There's no distance. But still, this consciousness is distinct. Just as light pervades in and through the illumined object, so that this all-pervasive consciousness pervades everything in and through. Therefore, there's no physical or time distance between the illumining light, illuminator consciousness, the knower consciousness, and the known material, subtle or gross object. There's no distance. But still, this consciousness is distinct. Just as light is distinct from the illuminator, light is distinct from the illumined opaque, the knower consciousness is distinct from the known thoughts, known emotions, known impurities in terms of emotions, known defects, known problems, known attributes of the anatma. So when you say anatma, especially anything external to the physical body, mind, sense complex is looked upon as object. Therefore, we do not internalize the problems of the external world of objects. We internalize only the defects or the limitations or the attributes pertaining to the body, mind, sense complex. So, sthula shariram, sukshma shariram, karna shariram, these three alone being upadis for the Atma, being associated with the Atma as the means instruments of, as the medium of in manifestation, their problems alone are internalized. Body's limitations are taken to be one's own limitations. The superimposition of limitations of anatma, physical body, upon the atma. The attributes of physical body are taken to be atma's attributes. But atma is free from those attributes. Birth, death, old age, etc. The change, etc. The disease of the body does not become the disease of the atma. Fever, cold, any physical illness. Physical illness. Illness is a dosha. The defect, the attribute belonging to the physical body. Atma doesn't get fever. Atma doesn't get cold and cough. Atma is not touched. In fact, all these physical defects, physical limitations, physical attributes enjoy the status of being existent only because of the blessing of the Atma. Atma is not at all afflicted, touched by all these physical problems, physical diseases, illnesses. So also the sukshma, the problems of the prana, hunger, thirst, etc., does not taint, touch. The hunger and thirst are experienced because of the blessing of the Atma. But Atma, because the presence of the awareness, there's awareness of hunger and thirst, awareness of the functions, but Atma by itself is not touched by hunger and thirst. Atma has no hunger, no thirst. Similarly, all the emotions in Sukshma itself, the mind, desires. Desire is a state of mind. All desires are the various thoughts. And desires of strong likes and dislikes are thoughts. Does Atma have a desire? Is Atma affected by the desire, touched by the desire? Is Atma affected by the ragadveshas, likes and dislikes? No. All these ragadveshas enjoy the existence in him of thoughts. They shine in the presence of the Atma, the awareness. They do not touch, attain to the Atma. They make the jealousy, hatred, anger, fear. All these are emotions, the mental impurities do not touch the Atma. Atma is absolutely free from all these impurities also. So all the problems, the defects, impurities associated with the gross body or subtle body do not taint, touch the Atma. And what about the Karna Shariram, causal body? There is total ignorance. Even total ignorance also enjoys existence only in the Atma, because total ignorance is an object of knowledge. Total ignorance is a subtle phenomenon. You can't even explain, draw and show how total ignorance is. You can only understand there is something, that there is total ignorance. It's an object of knowledge. Does this ignorance touch the Atma, taint the Atma? So Atma is not touched or tainted by ignorance also, because ignorance, the ignorance of the existence of the self and the world, the total ignorance, itself shines an object of consciousness, object of knowledge, which enjoys existence in the presence of the Atma, which shines in the presence of the Atma. That Atma is there as the illuminator, as the knower of the ignorance. There's no distance between ignorance and the Atma. Your Atma is not touched by ignorance, which is Karna Shariram. Atma is touched by emotions. Atma is distinct from the knowledge and ignorance. Atma is not touched by any of these mental defects or attributes. Atma is not touched by the physical problems, physical limitations. Atma is absolutely untainted. But all these defects pertaining to, associated with the body, mind and complex, the problems and limitations, defects of the sthula sukshma karna sharirani, or the so-called anatma in terms of gross bodies, physical, subtle body and causal body, all these problems themselves enjoy their existence only because of the blessing of the Atma. Therefore, Atma is absolutely untainted, untouched. That's what is said here. Now, loka dukkhena, that one word dukkham stands for all other defects and impurities pertaining to anatma prapancha, material world, external material world, including one's body, mansions, complex. Therefore, loka dukkhena bahyaha atma nalipyate. See, the interesting is, in the last word, in this 11th mantra is bahyaha. The bahyaha is a word describing atma. Yekaha atma, sarvabhuta antaratma, atma. Bahyaha atma, tatha, ലോക ദുഃഖേന ന ലിപ്യതേ. സോ വാട്ട് ഇസ് ദ ബാഹ്യഹ മീൻ? സർവഭൂത അന്തരാത്മ ഇസ് ഓൾ പെർവേസീവ് റിയാലിറ്റി അലോൺ, ബീങ് ഓൾ പെർവേസീവ് ഇസ് ദർ ഇൻസൈഡ് ഔട്ട്സൈഡ് ഓഫ് ഓൾ ദ ബീങ്സ്, therefore it's available for recognition as the innermost self, innermost essence. Atma, all pervasive atma, being outside and inside of all the anatma, body, mind, sense complexes, is said to be antaratma because it's available for recognition as the innermost essence of every being, as the very content of I. But that atma is said to be bahyaha here. The word bahyaha should not be mistaken as an external. Atma is not external here. Because Atma has neither inside nor outside. Atma is all pervasive, one reality. But Atma is said to be external here, bahyaha, because Atma is distinct from the Anatma. Atma is said to be external to the Anatma, means Atma is distinct from the Anatma, distinct from the Anatma and the problems, defects and impurities of the Anatma. Being distinct, it is not touched by any of them. Again, why Atma is not affected, not afflicted or tainted, touched? Because Atma is Satyam, Anatma is Mithya. Satyam and Mithya, what are these two technical terms? What do these two technical terms convey? These two terms convey that Atma is absolutely real. Anatma is empirically real. That is, we talk of these three realities. That is absolute reality. There is absolute reality called Paramarthikam Satyam. And empirical reality or objective reality or relative reality, which is Vyavaharikam Satyam. And we say Pratibhasikam Satyam, which is subjective reality. Pratibhasikam Satyam is objective reality. Vyavaharikam Satyam is objective reality. And Paramarthikam Satyam is absolute reality. This Paramarthikam Satyam alone is absolute reality. Vyavaharikam Satyam is objective reality, which is relative reality. Pratibhasikam Satyam, which is subjective reality, is also relative reality. Pratibhasikam Satyam is also relative reality. Subjective also is relative. And objective reality, Vyavaharikam Satyam, empirical reality, is also relative. Subject, Paramarthikam Satyam, absolute reality, is what? Atma. Atma is Paramarthikam Satyam. Why is absolute reality? Because Atma is abstract consciousness, pure knowledge. Implied with the term Atma alone is absolutely real. Because what is absolutely real? That which has no beginning, no end, no change. Therefore, that which is, that which has independent existence is absolutely real. Whereas here, this Paramarthika, Vyavaharikam Satyam, the entirety of the objective universe comes under the category of Vyavaharikam Satyam. The universe is only empirically real, relatively real, objectively real. Why? Because it has no independent existence. It has a beginning. It has an end. The subject to change has no independent existence. Therefore, it is mithya. So, Vyavaharikam Satyam also is mithya. Pratibhasikam Satyam also is mithya. The dream world and our own, the dream world, is not unreal. Because it's experienced. The word is objectively real. It's only real for the person who dreams. Which has no independent existence. So gross or subtle, subjective or objective worlds have no independent existence of their own, therefore they are mithya. Objective reality, relative, is mithya. Subjective reality, pratibhasikam satyam, is also mithya, relative. And what is absolute, paramarthika satyam, is only atma. So satyam and mithya, so they are not two different independent realities. When you say mithya, pratibhasikam satyam, subjective reality, vyavaharikam satyam, objective reality, both happen to be mithya. And paramarthikam satyam, atma alone is absolute reality. Satyam. Satyam and mithya are not two independent realities. Satyam and mithya are two orders of the same reality. Two orders, same reality. So mithya is that which has dependent existence. There cannot be something called vyavaharikam satyam, vyavaharika prapanchaha. There is something called objective universe at all, objective world at all, without the blessing of the atma. The objective world is dependent on the knower to become the known to the status of being existent. So also the subjectively real dream world also is dependent on the knower to have the status of being existent. As knower can be without the objective world and without the subjective world also. Subjectively real world also. Therefore, knower atma is absolutely independent of the known worlds for its existence. The known worlds do not have independent existence of their own at all without becoming the known. Therefore, the Atma is Satyam, Anatma is Mithya, Anatma Prapancha. Prapancha is Mithya. So they're not two independent realities. They're two orders of the same reality. Our Shastram does not say there's something called something non-existent. There's no such a thing called non-existence at all, absolutely. There is an objective universe which is not totally non-existent, not absolutely unreal. It is not absolutely real also. It is as though real, because seemingly real, it has different existence. So also, we can reduce subjective and objective realities into one word as what? Mithya anatma prapanchaha. So mithya anatma prapancha is dependent on satya atma for its existence. Therefore, the two orders of the same reality. Therefore, mithya anatma prapancha, mithya anatma body mentions complex, their attributes, their defects, their impurities, their blemishes, their problems, cannot do any harm to Satya Atma. Therefore, Atma is said to be distinct and different, though not distant from the Anatma. This is what is implied by the term Bahyaha. Atma is said to be Bahyaha, does not mean external or distant, but definitely Atma is distinct. Atma is satyam. Paramarthikam satyam. The wave form, which is dependent on the water, cannot do any harm to the water. very existence itself is in the water. What harm can the wave to do to the water? So the mithya rope, the mithya snake, which has seeming appearance, apparent existence in the wrong perception, what harm can it do to the rope is very adhishtanam, very existence. The mithya snake, why I say mithya snake is mithya because it is there in the perception of the in the perception of the ignorant person who is ignorant of the rope. It is there. His perception is there, his experience is there. Therefore, it is not tucham. But this mithya snake cannot do any harm to the rope because the very adhishtanam is the rope. Similarly, even the mirage water, the mirage, the cannot do any harm to the earth. It is very adhishtanam. These are examples we are going to see in Shankaracharya's commentary. So here the all the so-called defects or impurities or limitations pertaining to the anatma prapancha, pertaining to the body mind sense complex, gross, subtle and causal bodies cannot do any harm to the atma. Atma is absolutely untouched by all this. So it is said, na lipyate, loka dukkhena na lipyate. What about dukkham? Then grief. Of course, the grief is a state of mind and which is there when the fundamental problem of sense of smallness centered on I is triggered. And the stronger the problem, more it is triggered, the more ahankara is hurt, then greater is the degree of the pain, which is just a state of mind which exists in the presence of awareness, which is mithya. So this pure consciousness, pure awareness, and pure knowledge implied by the term atma is not at all touched by any of the worldly sorrow. This is the literal meaning of this mantra. Suryo yatha sarvalokasya chakshuh nalipyate chakshushair bahya doshaihi yekastatha sarvabhuta antaratma nalipyate lokadukhena bahyaha. It's very clear, isn't it? See, we are helped to be objective towards our own the subtle emotions, especially grief, even the sorrow. So sorrow is mithya and atma alone is satyam. Grief is mithya and I am that atma, satya atma, absolutely untainted by the mithya grief. For this, I can give another example. See, for a person who has woken up from sleep and who would have seen the dream in his sleep, he would have seen, this is the example given by acharyas, Vidyaranya Swami also elsewhere. See, the person cooks the food in his dream. The person cooks the food and he keeps the food in the fridge. If he falls asleep and when he wakes up from sleep, has shower and he cannot go and eat the food which is kept in the fridge. Why? The food was not cooked in the waking state. How just as the food cooked in dream state cannot be eaten, appease the hunger of a person in the waking state. Also, the thief who was chasing in the dream state, the person was chased by a thief in a dream. And the thief who was seen in dream cannot do any harm at all to the person in the waking state. When you wake up from sleep, you saw the person in your dream who was chasing, who was a thief, who was having a knife in your hand, in his hand. And now, once you wake up from sleep, you're so relieved. Why? That person only in dream is a mithya, is not really there. You did experience. You did see the thief chasing you. You had the experience of being chased by the thief. You had the fear also. But once you wake up from sleep and you see how you see, oh, the person in the waking state cannot be touched, affected by the, you know, harmed, any harmed by this thief with the knife seen in the dream. The same way, no impurities can touch the Atma. Is it clear? Okay, let us see the Bhashyam now. Yatha sarvalokasya chakshuhu suryaha chakshushaihi bahyadoshaihi na lipyate tatha yekaha bahyaha sarvabhuta antaratma sarvabhutantaratma lokadukhena na lipyate. This is the meaning understood very well. Let us see the Bhashyam now. Suryo yatha chakshushaha alokena. Upakaram kurvan mutra purishadi ashuchi prakashanena taddarshinaha sarvalokasya chakshurapi san na lipyate. Let's understand first here. Suryaha yatha, just as the sun, chakshushaha alokena upakaram kurvan. Helping, doing the help for the eyes in seeing. Upakaram karoti, upakaram kurvan. The sun doing the help of the eyes, help for the eyes in the form of seeing, in seeing. Alokena, by illumining. Alokayati means seeing, alokayati. Just as the sun doing the help for the eyes by illumining. Illumining what? The objects. Mutra. Mutra means urine. Why mutra it should be said here? Somebody has urine somewhere means, you know, it is perceptible. And it is this stink also. Then, purishadi. Purisha. Okay. Purisha adi. Purisha actually means the evacuation, excretion. Mutra, all the excreted objects in terms of urine, etc. That also, adi, etc. Even the impure things, the dirty smelling things, such as mutram, urine, and all the excretion, etc. Evacuate objects, etc. Mutra purishadi. Ashuchi prakashanam. They're all not clean, okay? Ashuchi means unclean. Ashuchi prakashanena. Okay? Even the dirty, foul-smelling objects such as excreted, evacuated stuff, urine, etc., all of them, prakashanena, by illumining, Prakashanam illumining, prakashanena, by illumining the dirty, foul smelling, excreted things such as urine, etc. Tadarshinaha sarvalokasya chakshuh api sanne. Seeing the eye of the seer of, seeing the eye of the seer, seeing person, and the entire world also, remaining as the eye of the entire world and also the seeing person, still sun is not lipyate, na lipyate, not affected, afflicted, touched, attainted by those, the defects, the impurities of the things, the foul smelling of the urine, or the any of other attributes of the urine, etc., does not touch the Atma. Sun is not lipyate, not touched, not tainted. Sarvalokasya chakshuvapi tadarshinaha chakshuvapi san. See, remaining as the eye of the world as well as the seer of those objects, still sun is not tainted. By what? Chakshushaihi shuchyadi darshana nimittaihi adhyatmikaihi papadoshaihi bahyaihi cha ashuchyadi samsargadoshaihi. Similarly, here chakshushaihi ashuchyadi darshana nimittaihi adhyatmikaihi papadoshaihi bahyaihi chashuddhyadi samsargadoshaihi na lipyate. Chakshushaihi means all perceptible objects. Ashuchyadi darshana nimittaihi. Ashuchyadi darshana nimittaihi, which are instrumental in seeing. Those external objects. Adhyatmikaihi papadoshaihi. In the same way. Adhyatmikaihi papadoshaihi. Adhyatmikaha papadoshaha means what? All the defects such as punya papas, etc., which are adhyatmikaha. Adhyatmika pertaining to one's own body, mind, and compass. Adhyatmikaihi papadoshaihi, bahyaihi, which are external, cha ashuchyadi samsargadoshaihi cha. Even the defects associated with the surroundings, the impure defects by all of them, is not tainted, touched. So here, ashuchyadi darshana nimittaihi. Ashuchyadi darshana nimittaihi. Papadoshaihi. Ashuchyadi darshana nimittam means what? The defects of the pertaining to the associated with the external objects which are perceptible. And adhyatmikaihi papadoshaihi. Adhyatmika papadoshaha means the when you see something which is improper, which is not, which should not be seen. Seeing something which should not be seen is what? No? The papadoshaha. Papadoshaha means the defects or sins associated with perceiving something which should not be perceived. It's papa. When you see something which should not be seen, it's a papa. So, by those defects also, the defects associated with things should not be seen. So, papa doshehi. Also, any such defects. And adhyatmikaihi. Adhyatmikaihi, when you say one's own personal emotional issues, fate, hatred, anger, fear, anxiety, etc. By all of them also. Adhyatmikaihi, papadoshaihi, bahyaihi, papadoshaihi, ashuchyadi darshana nimittaihi, papadoshaihi, adhyatmikaihi, papadoshaihi, bahyaihi, ashuchyadi samsarga doshaihi. By all those impurities also, diverse impurities also, Atma is not touched, tainted. So here, na lipyate. Atma is not tainted by what? Chakshushaihi. Means, the defects, doshas, chakshushaha doshaha. The defects pertaining to the perceptible objects shining in the sunlight. Or seen through sense organs also. Then, ashuchyadi darshanimittaihi doshehi. The defects are this associated with the objects which should not be perceived, which are perceived. Even by those defects also. The adhyatmikaihi papadoshehi. Even all these papadoshaha. The defects associated with the sins involved in seeing, perceiving which should not be perceived. Adhyatmikaha papadoshaha means the one's own personal emotional issues. There are also defects of the different person pertaining to the mind by all of them also. Atma is not tainted, touched. Why? Because Yekaha samstatha sarvabhuta antaratma na lipyate lokadukhe na bahyaha. I'll be explaining this particular Bhashyam sentence again later on. I'll explain very clearly again. Yekaha san, remaining as the only truth, Atma, tatha, sarvabhuta antaratma, remaining as the innermost self of all the beings, remaining as one, this Atma, lokadukhena na lipyate. This Atma is not at all touched by any pain pertaining to the world. In fact, what is dukkham, if you understand? Anatma has no dukkham. Anatma also cannot have dukkham. Atma also has no dukkham. Then what is dukkham? Mistaking the anatma for the atma and mistaking the limitations of anatma as atma's limitations alone is dukkham. And that dukkham is something which exists where? Which experienced where? Only the presence of the atma. That's why Loka dukkhena na lipyate sarvabhuta antaratma ekaha san. Because ekaha, very, very interesting thing, important thing. Ekaha san, remaining as one. Which means there is no second equivalent, second reality. Atma is the one, and Atma is the only reality. Other than Atma, what is there is Anatma, which is Mithya. There's a second Atma, which is equally real, which enjoys the equal status of being the reality. Therefore, second thing being not there, Atma being the only absolute reality, second thing is not there at all. What is there is only Mithya. There's no second Atma, there's no second thing also as Anatma. Anatma is not even counted as the something existent. It is Anatma, the Mithya Anatma Prapancha, Mithya Anatma body minus common is as good as non-existent because it has no independent existence of its own. Therefore, second thing is not there. Atma is one, Atma is secondless, Atma is non-dual. Second thing is not there. There were two things for one thing to affect the other, to touch the other, to taint the other, to cause any harm to the other. Atma being ekaha san, tatha sarvabhuta antaratma, na lipyate. There were two things must be there, enjoying the same orders of reality. Then one thing can be a source of affliction for the other. That we do not have two things which enjoy the same order of reality. The only Atma, one Atma, which alone is absolutely real. There's no second thing, second Atma or second thing other than the Atma, which enjoys the same order of reality. Therefore, Atma is absolutely untainted. Na lippate loka dukkhena. Why? Because Atma is bahyaha. Why Atma is said to be bahyaha? Which we have to see in the next sentence. Why Atma is not tainted? One reason we understood, ekaha. This is the second thing. Second Atma, second thing, other than the Atma, enjoying the same order of reality. Therefore, Atma is untainted. Then, another reason is Atma is bahyaha. And for this one word, bahyaha, Shankara Bhagavatpada is writing the rest of the bhashyam. He writes only to explain this one word, bahyaha. Let us see. Here, lokehi, avidyaya swatmani adhyasthaya kama karma udbhavam dukkham anubhavati. He explained here. Lokaha means, here loka means world. World means the people of the world. So the winter world of human beings, the world of human beings is lokaha. The world of human beings anubhavati, dukkham anubhavati, experiences grief, experiences sorrow. And a sorrow is caused by what? Karma udbhavam. All the any dukkham is experienced as a result of one's own actions. So, never blame others for dukkham. Okay. Lokaha dukkham anubhavati. Please wait. I'll go back to the first paragraph again and explain. After explaining this. Lokaha dukkham anubhavati. The world of human beings experiences grief, sorrow, which is caused by the results of one's own actions. Karma udbhavam. And this karma, why action? Why you perform the action? Right action or wrong action? Any action produces result. And the result has to be experienced. And experience the result, you have to be living in the world. Therefore, experience of pain is caused by the result of one's own actions. And action is impelled by one's desires, karma. So, karma, karma, udbhavam, dukkham, lokaha, anubhavati. The world of human beings enjoys, experiences, dukkham caused by one's own actions, result ordained by the parabdha karma. Karma, impelled by one's own, again, result of action, caused by, impelled by one's desire. Action impelled by the desire. And this, how? Swatmani adhyasthaya avidyaya. This experience of dukkham itself is purely because of the ignorance. Ignorance superimposed upon the Atma. Swatmani adhyasthaya avidyaya eva lokaha dukkham anubhavati. So not only swatmani adhyasthaya avidyaya. Because there is ignorance, and because of ignorance, there is erroneous self-perception. Because erroneous self-perception, there is superimposition of limitations of anatma upon the atma. Thereby, one's perception of the self and the world is erroneous. Thereby, all the notions one has about the self and the world are erroneous notions. And because of which alone, a human being becomes subject to the fundamental problem of sense of inadequacy centered on I, and because of which the desire comes into existence. Desire impels the action. Action produces the result. And the result is in the form of the experience of pairs of opposites. Here we can say what? Pain. See, not a dukkham is dukkham. Sukham also is dukkham. Experience of pleasure also is pain, because when the experience of pleasure is impermanent, when the pleasure not to experience the pleasure, one has to go through pain. To earn the pleasure, one has to go through pain. And to preserve the pleasure, one has to go through the pain. And one has to lose the pleasure one day, because pleasure is of the nature of coming and going. In losing the pleasure also, there is pain. Okay? Sukha arjane dukkham. Sukha rakshane dukkham, sukhasya nashe api dukkham. Dukkham is there in sukham. Okay? There's no such thing called dukkha rahitam, pure sukham. There's no such a thing called pure pleasure which is not mixed with the pain. To enjoy any degree of pleasure, one has to strain, one has to work hard, one has to go through some certain degree of pain. In the form of efforts and strain, therefore, in earning pleasure, there is dukkham. In preserving the pleasure also, there's strain is involved, and in losing the pleasure, there is greater pain. Therefore, pleasure also is taken to be pain here. Understand? Therefore, the world of human beings experiences pain, different degrees of pain, produced as a result of one's own actions, in keeping with one's punya papams. And those actions are impelled by one's desires, and desires are caused because of this fundamental problem of sense of inadequacy centered on I, and the fundamental problem itself is because of erroneous notion one has about oneself, and the erroneous notion one has about oneself is because of the erroneous perception of the self and the world. Erroneous perception is because of self-ignorance, therefore avidyaya. So the superimposition of this pain, Aham dukhi, I am sorrowful, I am sad, I am etc. That itself, that's a notion. This entertaining the notion that I am unhappy, I am sorrowful, is what this notion is. It's a superimposed grief. Entertaining this notion alone is said to be having the superimposition of grief upon oneself. Aham dukhi. I am sorrowful. I am sad. I am unhappy. This is the notion one entertains. And this notion, erroneous notion one has about oneself. Because this dukkham is superimposed upon oneself. Because of ignorance. That's why avidyaya swatmani adhyasthaya. Kamakarma udbhavam dukkham anubhavati. Because of the ignorance, I guess cause problems superimposed upon oneself. Even I am ignorant itself is a wrong notion. I am ignorant is a wrong notion. I am ignorant of myself is a wrong notion. It's a notion. Because if you know what you are, then you cannot have a notion that you are ignorant. Even though there's a certain degree of fact is that I am ignorant is a fact we should know to discover who you are. But if you say I am ignorant, that itself is a wrong notion. Because ignorance itself is superimposed upon oneself. Ignorance caused problems also superimposed upon oneself, because of which there is because the wrong notion someone has about oneself, the desires come into the being. And because of desires, actions become impelled, actions produce result, and results are in the form of experience of pain. Natu sa paramarthataha swatmani. Absolutely, paramarthataha, absolutely. Swatmani natu sa paramarthataha swatmani. Avidya and avidya caused problems. Definitely, absolutely not there on the part of the Atma. Paramarthataha sa atmani na. Sa means what? Sa avidya paramarthataha atmani na. That ignorance is not there absolutely on the part of the Atma. Atma does not have ignorance. There is ignorance. Atma does not have ignorance. Therefore, ignorance caused problems are not there on the part of the Atma. Atmani sa paramarthataha natu na. Absolutely, ignorance is not on the part of Atma. Ignorance caused problems are also not there on the part of the Atma. Ignorance and ignorance caused problems, ignorance associated problems, grief, etc., enjoy their existence in that Atma, which is absolutely untainted. This is the meaning of this line. Lokaha hi avidyaya swatmani adhyastaya avidyaya eva kamakarma udbhavam dukkham anubhavati. Sa avidya paramarthataha atmani nasti eva. It is not there at all. When you say ignorance is not there on the part of the Atma, Atma does not have ignorance means ignorance caused to problems. Erroneous self-perception or desires. Atma does not have desires. Atma has no erroneous perception. Atma has no supreme. Atma does not have any limitations. So Atma does not, Atma is not the doer, Atma is not the enjoyer. So Atma has no punyam and papam, Atma has no sukha dukkham, Atma has no dukkham. Atma has no avagami karma, sanchita karma, parabdha karma also. Atma is absolutely free from the karma, free from actions, free from doership, free from enjoyership, free from results of actions, free from this experienced pairs of opposites in terms of pain, etc. Atma is absolutely free from everything. Atma is not touched by anything. This is the meaning here. Now he gives example. Let me stop here. I'll continue tomorrow. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate பூர்ணஸ்ய பூர்ணமாதாய பூர்ணமேவாவசிஷ்யதே. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்தி. ஹரி ஓம் தத்சத். ஸ்ரீ குருப்போ நமஹ. ஹரி ஓம்.